the hour of 11 o'clock, having come and gone, we'll call the meeting of the Commission on Government Forecasting and Accountability to order. And I'd like to ask the clerk to call the roll, please.
Raymond was passing about the.
Representative Bellows?
Call to the Republican.
Senator Brady?
Shocked.
Senator Ferrer? Representative McCarthy?
Here.
Senator Murphy?
Here.
Representative Myers?
Here.
Representative Nickens?
Yes.
Representative Poe?
Here.
Representative Riley?
Here.
Senator Schaumburg? Senator Stevenson? Senator Trotter?
The quorum is present, so we'll go ahead and convene the meeting. And I think we all know we're here today to hear testimony from Northeastern Illinois University on their Series 2010 Certificates of Participation. And most of you should have received some information regarding the Certificates of Participation that the Commission on Government Forecasting put together. And you can refer to that from time to time, and you can also refer to the material that's included in your packet. We'll start the testimony today, and the first person to testify, sorry about that. Please add Senator Trotter to the roll. We have a panel of people to testify. Mark Wilcoxon, Vice President for Administration, Finance and Administration. David Janitis, Vice President for Financial and Administrative Affairs. David Rubin, Facilities Management. Robert Phillip, Purchasing. John Vincent, John Vincent and Company. John McNulty, John Vincent and Company. Would those individuals, or any of those individuals, if they're here, please come forward to the table and start your testimony. Please identify yourself for the record.
Sure. I'm Mark Wilcoxon, Vice President for Finance and Administration at Northeastern Illinois University. And with me is David Rubin, who is from Facilities Management at the University. There may be some misunderstanding. I gave Renee the list, but I don't think all those people are going to testify.
Okay. That's fine. Yes, you did.
Hopefully you all also have a handout that we prepared. We'll be talking about the handout over this. Executive Director Long and members of the Commission. Again, my name is Mark Wilcoxon, Vice President of Finance and Administration at Northeastern Illinois University. It's my pleasure to meet with you today to discuss the proposed energy conservation project at Northeastern. The project is important to the university not only to implement energy conservation measures that will reduce our energy costs, but to demonstrate to our students, the university community, and those interested in Northeastern that we are doing our part to reduce energy consumption and be good stewards of the environment. With me today, I was going to go through a list of individuals that are here that can answer specific questions about their areas of involvement, but I can skip that since Representative Myers. This morning, I will briefly give an overview of the project and why this project is so important to the university, both from a financial and an environmental perspective. I'll summarize our board's involvement with this project and their approval process. I will outline how the university will pay for the project and discuss how the energy savings are guaranteed by our energy services company. Again, with me at the table is Dave Rubin, who works in facilities management and he will talk a little bit about the specific energy conservation measures and answer questions. You should have a set of handouts before you that I will be speaking from. And as a background, on the second page of that handout provides the 5-unit Northeastern Illinois sites throughout the Chicago area of Lake County. Northeastern Illinois University's main campus is located in the residential area on the far north side of Chicago. The university also has 3 other campus sites in Chicago, the Carruthers Center for Inner-City Studies, located on the south side, the Chicago Teacher Center near downtown, corner of Halsted, Chicago, and El Centro, which is located on North Pulaski. We also offer classes at the Multi-University Center, located on the campus of College of Lake County. The energy conservation project brought before you today will include work on the main campus and the Carruthers Center. Those are the only two facilities on the university zones. The other three are, well, two of them are each one, since police and college are planning. The university has over 1.4 million square feet of university space between the main campus and the Carruthers Center. We're good stewards of our space and focused on repair, maintenance, and current space rather than additions to the campus footprint. In fact, the construction of the education building, which is included in the state's capital program, will be the first addition to the campus footprint since 1988. I mention this only to reinforce our longstanding commitment to maintain current space and to highlight the importance of this energy conservation project. History of the project. The university in 2008 completed a comprehensive strategic plan that is now fully integrated into our planning and budgeting processes. The energy conservation project is really a direct result of our recently completed strategic plan. The third page of your handout highlights two of our six strategic goals related to this project. Strategic goal five, enhanced university operations, states that we will provide a supportive learning, teaching, and working environment by improving operating productivity, physical infrastructure, and environmental sustainability. A specific action step under that goal is to establish environmental sustainability as a key element of the university's identity. Strategic goal number six, fiscal strength, states that we will enhance the university's financial position by reducing reliance on state general funds and student tuition, diversifying revenue sources, and strengthening institutional relationships. So this project really is the direct result of the university's strategic plan. It has two key outcomes: to improve our operating productivity, physical infrastructure, and environmental sustainability, and to enhance our financial position and reduce reliance on state and student funding. A more concrete driver of this project has been our significant increases in utility costs. And on the next page of the handout, I think you can see that. In fiscal year 2004 to 2009, our combined natural gas and electricity costs increased about $906,000, an average of $181,000 or 9.9% per year. Part of this was driven by the deregulation of electricity. There is no expectation that the long-term increase in utility costs will stop. Our expectation is that if we don't address the situation, energy costs will continue to take an increasing proportion of our operating budget. The next slide outlines the history of our Board of Trustees' involvement with this project. In February 2009, university staff began a series of discussions with our board to outline these utility cost increases and to discuss the option of working with an energy services company to perform a comprehensive energy audit. The goal of the audit would be to identify any potential energy conservation measures, determine the estimated cost of those measures, estimate energy savings, and based on that information, determine the estimated payback for that type of project. The university publicly advertised for proposals from energy services companies for an energy audit and the implementation of any viable energy conservation measures. We undertook an open and competitive process to select an energy services company. And after a review of submitted proposals and a series of presentations and interviews, the university selected GRESCO as our partner in this project. I will note that the university relied heavily on advice from David Burr, who is on contract with the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, specifically to assist public universities to walk through this process, and he was a big help. In June 2009, the Northeastern Board of Trustees approved the hiring of NORESCO, and in September, the energy audit began. The audit and resulting report were completed in early 2010, and at its April 2010 meeting, the Board of Trustees approved 11 energy conservation measures totaling $6.1 million. In June 2010, the Northeastern Board adopted a formal resolution to proceed with financing for the project not to exceed $6.5 million, including $6.1 million in project costs plus debt issuance costs. So with that, I'm going to turn to David Rubin and ask him to give a brief overview of the energy conservation measures that are included in this project and summarize on the next page in your handout.
Thank you. Thank you. We have a nice mix of projects here. They cover multiple buildings as well as a satellite site, CCICS. There's nothing too outlandish here. Those are pretty much your basic projects, and I'm going to go through each of the 11. The first two are the biggest. The first one, control system upgrades that will take place at our boiler house. And currently, we have four building automation systems, and they don't speak to each other, and it's very inefficient. So what we're going to do is replace those four systems with one single IMF system. The second one are lighting efficiency upgrades. This is going to take place in many buildings as well as CCICS. We're going to replace lamps and ballasts with more efficient, smaller ones. We're going to modify wiring, install reflectors to reduce the number of lamps and ballasts, and we're going to be installing additional motion sensors. Third project is variable air volume at our library. We're going to replace existing constant volume air distribution boxes and fan controls with variable units, and this will improve the distribution and efficiency of heat and air conditioning in the library. Our fourth project is water efficiency upgrades, and this is going to be in multiple buildings. We'll replace some toilet and urinal fixtures and flush valves to replace the amount of water used. For example, many 3.5-gallon toilets will be replaced by much more efficient 1.28-gallon toilets. Our fifth project is chiller plant system efficiency improvements. We're going to install a new condenser water pump system with variable speed motors to improve efficiency of the heat evacuation from the air conditioning equipment. Sixth project is another variable frequency drive in our Lequalessa Hall. We're going to install variable speed motors on our main fan units to make the building's heating and cooling distribution more efficient. Seventh project is to our high temp hot water boilers. We're going to replace existing controls for three of our high temperature hot water boilers to improve burning efficiency and decrease natural gas usage. Eighth project is an HVAC fan unit replacement in our building D. We're going to replace the current fan unit and install variable speed fan motors on the main fan units, and this will improve the distribution and efficiency of the building's heating and cooling. The ninth project is high temperature hot water insulation. This is going to take place on several buildings. We're going to put an insulation on the high temperature hot water expansion joints, and this will increase efficiency and reduce heat loss. Our 10th project is in our kitchen to the hood controls. We're going to install a variable speed motor on the kitchen hood, exhaust fan, and that will, of course, reduce energy consumption. And our final 11th project is to our swimming pool pump in our PE complex. We're going to install variable speed motors on the swimming pool pump, which will reduce energy consumption. So those are our 11 projects.
The other good news is we originally had 19 projects. We only accepted 11 of the 19 that were originally included in the audit. The final page of the handout summarizes the estimated project financing and net cash flow. This project will be financed over 18 years with taxable certificates of participation supported through the federal Build Up and Skilled America program. The university would receive a subsidy from the federal government to support 35% of the interest costs on the certificates. And the RESCO, by contract, would guarantee energy consumption savings in each year of the project, and these savings would be measured, verified, and agreed to annually. If the savings are not realized, the RESCO would be contractually obligated to pay the university the difference between the projected and actual savings. The project has a positive cash flow in each of the years of the project and an estimated total positive cash flow of $1.2 million over the 18 years. So in conclusion, I would like to thank you for the opportunity to discuss this project with you today and ask your approval of this project as important to the future of Northeastern. My colleagues and I would be pleased to address any questions that you may have.
Representative Riley.
Thank you. These are great projects, and I we think that you will see some savings over time. That's a question. Aren't some of these things, though, maybe, you know, not the VAG boxes and some of the heating and cooling things, but aren't some of these projects that would normally be encompassed under just PM that would come out of operating?
They could be, but the magnitude of these projects, when we put them all in a package, it's for us to actually complete these projects, it's not feasible within our budget. So it's we're going to start financing to do those projects.
Representative Nacker.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Can someone remind me why CAFA approves these in the first place?
It was, I was just going to say, it was passed into law, passed the House and the Senate, signed into law by the governor, that the legislature would have an active role in approving certificates of participation. I think it goes back to Speaker Madigan's concern about universities and their certificates of participation, and this was something that Speaker Madigan approved of, allowing the legislature to have some oversight, the legislature through the Commission on Government Forecasting.
And was this in response to something that happened where there was a negative experience with the certificates?
Now that I can't tell you.
Thank you.
Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, gentlemen, for your testimony today. I want to understand a little bit better the guarantee that's been provided. And you said they're agreed to on an annual basis. The guarantee, obviously, is a pretty reassuring concept. Are there any conditions on the guarantee?
Well, we can talk a little bit about how this works, and I will start until somebody throws something, hits me in the back of the head, and tells me that I shouldn't be talking. But in the contract, there are pretty extensive procedures that our energy service company will go through in how to analyze the energy savings. For example, when the university, when the ESCO did the comprehensive energy audit, they would look at a building and measure. They would take an assessment of how many light fixtures we have in the building, and they would measure how much electricity is used in each of those light fixtures, and come up to a level of consumption, typical use in a month or a year, how much that building uses. They would also know from manufacturers what the new replacing these light fixtures would bring as far as energy savings. So annually, then, the energy services company would go in and measure the sample light fixtures to see if they were actually using the amount of electricity that the manufacturer said they would, compare those to previous measures from the energy audit, and recognize the savings then. So in this building, they would go through all the fixtures, measure the difference in use from old fixtures to new fixtures, and that would be the measured savings. If it's not what was guaranteed, if the savings weren't generating, if the measurements weren't generating the savings that were in the contract, they would be required to make up the difference.
But what if your usage changes for some reason?
There are variables built into the measurement verification, and you're about getting to the point where we have to bring it all up.
Now, and that's our, if that concept was contemplated, I think that's good enough for me. You had mentioned that as under the federal stimulus bill, that there's is the reason you're getting 35%. So 35% of the interest cost that you incur on this project will be rebated back to you from the federal government.
And on the last page in your handout, that's actually shown on the debt service. The fourth column from the left actually shows the government credit, the interest subsidy.
And that's the federal government credit?
Correct.
Okay. Going back to the guarantee just briefly, that guarantee applies even though you did not accept all 19 or even 12 of the recommendations.
Yeah, the measurement and verifications are project specific, so there's a separate set of standards and verification protocols for the lighting upgrade, a different set of measurements and protocols for water efficiency improvements. So there is very detailed protocols for each of these ECMs.
And then I think you made reference, at least in the writing, to the potential for positive cash flow as a result of these changes in this investment. Over the 18 years, is there an estimate of the cumulative cash flow savings or that could be produced?
That's actually on the last table also. It's the far right-hand column. So it shows the annual estimated net cash flow, positive cash flow. So the first year in 2012, it would be $71,000. And so the summation of those is $1.2 million.
That's great. Okay, thank you. And then my last question. Under no circumstances would the state of Illinois have any obligation to back up these bonds. Is that correct? Thank you very much.
Representative McCarthy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Maybe this would go to David, since you explained some of the measures that are anticipated. Could you tell me the cost, the total cost of these 11 changes, and also you said that the first two are the majority of it, so if you have an idea how much those measures are costing the University of Illinois.
Yeah, well, the total cost is on that same table. The very left-hand column, $6.1 million. The first two projects, that's the control system, which is our building automation system and the lighting, those two alone come up to about $4 million. So those two projects are about two-thirds of the total project cost.
So then the other nine would be the other $2 million. Correct. And you anticipate spending this money during the first year? After these bonds are, the certificates are sold, the expenditure of the $6 million, that will be paid out. I mean, the chart shows the principal is it's being paid off, but as far as we have spending of that money, when will that be done?
The payment schedule is not in your handout.
Not the payment schedule yet. I'm looking at the outgoing, the purchasing schedule. But when is that $6 million going to be spent?
Right. We will pay the energy service company in the RESCO over 15 months, a 15-month period. For instance, the first month, we pay them 10%, the second month, 7%. I have that available if you'd like.
So the RESCO will make all the purchases of this equipment, and they'll pay for the installing it all and checking it after it's installed. And then you'll pay them in the course of the 15 months, the total $6 million. That your layout will be spent. And then you have 18 years of paying for it after that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, and as far as these certificates, what's the time frame to, do you sell these like bonds, or how does this money get generated? Can you please come to the table and speak on the microphone?
The university will be conducting a competitive sale on August 19th of the certificates, and that involves advertising the certificates for sale to prospective underwriters, and we will then collect bids on the morning of the 19th. And we will award the certificates to the.
I should interrupt. August 19th, 2010.
Yes.
So you've already brought these out to the public.
No, we have our documentation prepared and ready to be published following the commission meeting.
And this approval is 15 days sufficient time for these. Do you notify like bond houses, or who do you notify as far as purchasing these certificates?
The certificates are advertised through the bond buyer, as a normal course of a competitive sale. We have already gone through our rating process and received ratings from Moody's and Standard & Poor's for the sale of the certificates. And usually...
And those ratings were favorable to the numbers that you had as far as the payback schedule?
Yes. Under the current circumstances, we maintain our ratings at the current levels, which are with S&P as an A-minus rating, and with Moody's, it's an A2 rating, which are well within the investment grade categories. We are also applying for municipal bond insurance should the underwriters decide that they can improve their bid by utilizing the insurance. If underwriters choose to go that route, it'll be their responsibility to pay for the bond insurance.
Okay, and how soon do you feel like you'll be able to contract, or you already have a contract with Maresco, the name of the company that's going to do the implementation?
We've been finalizing the contract. We don't have a signed contract in place right now, but it's very close to being finalized.
And will that be finalized after the certificates are sold so that the money would be available?
I think it will be finalized.
I think the commission.
After approval by the commission.
This commission?
Correct.
Okay. Now, so you have the 6.1 that you spent then out relatively soon, and then the payback over the 18 years is paid back by the assumed savings by doing these. So basically, you pay it back by saying, well, we would have spent $1 million on electricity, now we're only spending $800,000, so we have $200,000. So this still comes out of the regular operating revenue of this of the college?
Correct.
Okay. So it's our decision as to whether we feel this is pragmatic, and that this savings will be realized, that these payments can be made.
Well, the savings will be guaranteed by the ESCO.
And that is, I mean, the savings are already relative, so, I mean, even though the energy bills would go up in a time of like in a real bad winter or a real hot summer, but the savings, the payments made by what the difference is. So there's always going to be a difference by putting in these measures of what the rationale is.
Right. The energy costs could go up, and so potentially we're saving consumption. The energy costs could go up, and so there's a cost that we wouldn't be incurring by doing these energy conservation.
But there's no guarantee that the electric bill for November of 2012 will be less than what the November of 2009 was, if that November turns out to be a real bad time.
Correct. It's not guaranteed.
So then you have a formula to say, okay, we were paying more money, but we would have even paid this much more.
Absolutely.
And that's where that savings is?
Absolutely, yes.
And then that comes out of regular revenues of the college, of the university? Well, let's pray for easy winters and cool summers, I guess.
Low rates.
Well, the
is there a level that where you would see that the process should not go forward if the money you're paying in order to receive that $6.1 million is more than you earlier anticipated or that Norusco anticipated?
Can you repeat that question?
As far as when you're ready to sell the certificates and bring that money in, is there a percentage where it becomes unwise to go forward with this?
Yes, interest rates would need to increase by about 100 to 150 basis points before we get to that point where it's a break even. At current levels, as Mark indicated, we're expecting about a $70,000 a year down
per year.
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
Senator Trotter.
Mr. Chairman, the necessity of this project actually came forward as a consequence of the federal, because of their subsidy on the interest. You decided to go forward this time. Let's see what the urgency is and the emergency. How did you figure to do this plan now?
I think the availability of the Build America bond program is incidental to the decision to move ahead with the energy conservation measures. We're just able to reduce our all-in interest costs by making use of this program that the government put into effect in February of 2009.
And you said originally there were 19 projects. one down to 11. How did you prioritize your projects? Why was those other eight considered not something to do at this time? If you're going to borrow the money, do it all at once. Or do you have plans to look at those other eight projects sometime in the near future? Or is you found out it was all following, you didn't want to do them at all?
Well, the main reason is we looked at the payback of these projects, and the ones that we selected had paybacks. When we packaged them as a project, it would be consistent with what we felt like going out and securing debt for. Some of the other projects that were on the rest of the list were more deferred maintenance projects with very long paybacks, and we didn't think it was appropriate to put in an energy conservation project like this.
Also, it's been reading through some of your works, you and Oresco have agreed to a goal of 20% of minority hiring. Do you know which groups have been selected as a preferred list that you're going from, or those going out to bid from Oresco?
Oresco has agreed to bid the subcontracting portion of the project and establish that minority purchase percentage role. They've identified contractors already on a preliminary basis, and some of them are certified through the state CMSP program. Others are attaining certification from other agencies, but they're going to work very closely with us on monitoring contract progress and the expenditures. And our expectation is that we'll apply those purchases against our framework.
And this is just a goal, so you can feasibly exceed that goal. Because 20%, even in this day and age, we look at it as very low in numbers, and especially we talk about a project and, in the city of Chicago. I know downstate there's always, at least the rhetoric, they can't find anymore. So as a consequence, you say, well, this is our goal, but we couldn't meet it because here, since this is our urban university, assembly that should be wealthy, and especially with the population that you serve at Northeast, and you think that that would be a large priority for you.
We are very optimistic that we can achieve 30%.
Thank you.
I believe Representative McCarthy has a follow-up.
Thank you, Chairman. I just want to make sure I heard correctly, because I was writing some things down. Somebody tried to ask a question about the savings that are going to come because of the federal legislation. Did you say that, John, again, did you say we're going to do this with or without that, that it wasn't instrumental in the decision? And yet when you look at the chart, that shows like a savings like $1.5 million, and the total savings as far as net cash flow is about $1.2 million. So did I hear you correctly, or did you say that was a big part of it, or did you answer that it was?
No, you're correct that the if we were able to, if we just went ahead without the federal subsidy, we would issue, or the university would issue, tax-exempt certificates of participation. And that in itself has the benefit of tax exemption, so that the interest rates would be lower than taxable bonds. The way the math works out is we can achieve a lower all-in interest rate by issuing taxable bonds, deducting the 35% interest subsidy, and come out with a lower interest rate than we would issuing conventional tax-exempt bonds. And so what I meant by it being incidental is that the university would have gone ahead with the issuance of tax-exempt bonds and still been able to come up with a positive annual cash flow. It wouldn't be $70,000, but it would be something between zero and $70,000.
That makes sense. Thank you.
Representative Belloc.
Thank you. I just had a follow-up question to what Representative McCarthy had asked before. Didn't you say that, is it Moresco, had contracted to a certain amount of savings per year?
Yes, there will be included contract that we signed with Moresco. There will be guaranteed energy savings in there.
Thanks. Oh, one other question. What is your funding from the state of Illinois right now to Northeastern?
Our operating budget is $81 million. State of Illinois is $43 million, so it's a little over 50%.
Thank you.
Any other questions from the commission members? We're pleased to have Representative Mary Flowers join us for the commission hearing today. Welcome. Do you have any questions, Mary?
No, thank you.
Okay. Seeing no further questions, is the commission ready to act? Okay, we have a choice of three motions. Staff has recommended one in particular, and that is a motion to favorably recommend. So I need somebody to make the motion. Senator Crotter moves that pursuant to 110 ILCS 73/15, he makes a motion to favorably recommend Northeastern Illinois University's issuance of $6.5 million of Series 2010 Certificates of Participation. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any further discussion? All those in favor say, well, no. Will the clerk please call the roll? Sorry.
Representative Pella?
Aye.
Senator Brady? Senator Ferris? Representative McCarthy?
Yes.
Senator Murphy?
Yes.
Representative Myers?
Yes.
Representative Eckert?
Yes.
Representative Poe?
Yes.
Representative Riley?
Yes.
Senator Schoenberg? Senator Stevenson? Senator Potter?
Aye.
On a vote of 8 voting yes, 0 voting no, the motion has been approved, and we do approve your certificate of participation. A little bit more information, Representative Neckerts. I did remember some additional reasons why I think it's gone to this point. If I'm correct, in the past, if a university wanted to do certificates of participation, they always had to include it in some legislative measure, whether it was a budget bill or something else, or maybe even a specific piece of legislation, because I can remember in the past Western was getting frustrated because their certificates of participation legislation wasn't moving. I think this was an effort to streamline that process. So, unless somebody else has other memories.
Okay, that makes sense.
In this way too, we can do it in between legislative sessions. We don't have to depend on the legislature to be in session.
Great. Thank you.
Any further business to come before the commission at this time? Seeing none, the commission stands adjourned.
Thank you.